university. So watch it, stubborn. We came from Port Fairy. We stayed last night in Panola.
That one, I bet you.
Yes,
it's a bit limey.
Some of the words. Excellent. Okay, so
we'll
do some music now.
Song happened on the roof for the first time. Thank you.
Melody can join in the bits if you want to. It's what you do with the bits of the fish that are left over. Apart from making fish fingers out of them. Apparently what you can do with the bits of a fish that are left over that you don't want to eat is you can make chairs out of them and seafaring vessels and small friendly people. Apparently. You'd be surprised. You'd be flabbergasted actually. Watching telly at night in a chair that smells of the fish. The longer you sat in it, the smellier it would get. That's right. As it warmed up. I think we'll start now. Seeing one, the seagulls would peck you to bits as well, and you'd drown and you go out. Of course, I am ad libbing now. And however friendly a bloke was, you wouldn't ever really want to talk to him, would you? Because he'd smell as well. Are you ready yet?
Thank you.
one of them. I was very, very, very fortunate to be brought up in a family that were very musical. My Eliza is, I don't know, the fourth, fifth generation of my side of the family that's made music. And Martin's side of the family, we have a picture of one of his great, 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 great uncles, Uncle Tom Carthy, who was born in 1799 and died in 1904. He lived through three centuries.
And he lived in a place called Ballybunion.
He was a piper. He's a piper. And so we don't know how many generations that are on his side.
All we know about him is he was the only one left, and they all buggered off and left him on his own in Ballybunion. And we've been to Ballybunion, and we know why they left, but we can't figure out why he stayed. It's a bit bleak. Some of them moved to New Zealand. I don't have to say anything else.
Anyway, what I was going to say was that I learned this song. I was about seven when I learned it. My dad he was one of that generation, you know, that during the Second World War, he was what you call musically seduced by the American servicemen. He's not musically challenged. Well, he was musically challenged at
all.
The banjo, didn't he? The banjo and the guitar. And he really liked the jazz and the swing music, you know, from the American servicemen that went over to the UK. So this is a song. It was written by a man called Fred Fisher in 1930. And it was first recorded by Bing Crosby. And it's called Ain't No Sweet Man Worth the Salt of My Tears. Sisters, aggravating misters, lend me your ear.
Yorkshire. Yorkshire has a great tradition of harmony singing, and in the villages around Sheffield, round about Christmas time and right into New Year, some of them do it right the way through, from November the 11th right through until New Year's Eve. On Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons, they get into the pubs and sing. Each village has its own little carols, and it's a wonderful tradition. It's been going on for about 200 or 300 years. And the way it started was that when the church, you know, the village bands used to play for dances on a Saturday night and for the church on Sunday mornings. And sometimes the village musicians would turn up for church drunk on the Sunday mornings if they'd had a good dance the night before. And the churches didn't like this too much, so they put in the organs and sacked all the musicians. And the musicians took all the villagers into the pubs and said, right, took the songs into the pubs and said, right, we'll do them here. And
that's churches where don't sell beer anyway.
So that's where they still do it. You know, you can still go and sing along. And the parts, the pieces of the songs are being handed down through families, mothers to daughters and son, fathers to sons. And this particular carol is called Jacob's Well. It's a very strange carol. It talks about Jesus walking in England. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, Jacob's Well.
There's actually some really funny stories about these, about the sort of feuds that went on between the village bands, also the church bands, and the local vicar. There were all sorts of always going on strike and stuff like that. And when it got serious, there's one particular village, I don't remember which one it was, somewhere in the south of England, where the leader of the band, on the way home from the from Saturday night's gig, called in at the vicarage with all his mates, and they painted all the windows black so that the vicar wouldn't know that it was morning. And just went home and went to bed.
So this is called Jacob's Well.
Jacob's Well, a stranger sought his drooping frame to cheer, his drooping frame to cheer. So Mary's daughter lives as a
Jesus travels Britain through
Mother.
band, you know. But when you get in the pub with them, they just go on, they can sing it 20 times. And the harmony gets wider and wider. Right, do you want to do Dorrington? All right, these are two tunes from the northeast of England, from a piper by the name of William Dixon, who piped in around about 1730-something or other, frozen to death. And he was very, very... No recordings in those days, of course, but he left a manuscript, and the manuscript was called Nine Notes That Shook the World. And these are the two of the tunes. The first one's called Dorrington Lads, and the second one's called Adam Abel.
And you can actually buy the manuscript book that this tune, that these tunes come from. If you like English border 17th century gypsy tunes, then he's your man.
It's your only man.
It's your only man.
Thank you.
drugs that shook the world. Lars is going to sing a song. Now I've got to shook your hand, yeah. they're from the northeast. They're from the northeast of England, and there's a song from the northeast of England, just from a few miles up the coast where we live. And it's called The Bonnie Fisher Boy, and it's about fish and love. Eliza's occupied with songs about fish, have you noticed this? Tizzle. Right, The Bonnie Fisher Boy. It's about cockles, really. Very small ways in about couples.
Fellow invented the Hoover.
Nearly all the songs in the English tradition, in fact all of them, come from the working classes. And we were told very, very, very early in our musical career, when we tried to get money from the arts centres, that the English had better forget their tradition and learn to love the ballet and the opera, which put us off a bit, but there you go. So this is a song from the time of the Reformation, of the enclosures rather. It's the thing that's called the English clearances, when the lords and ladies had been given big parcels of land for their allegiances to various princes and kings, and they built their enormous big houses and castles on this land. And to do that, they had to move villages and people off the land, which is what they did, and left a whole class of people totally homeless, jobless and everything. And these became the labouring classes. They either moved into towns, or they started poaching and got transported for their troubles. Anyway, this song is called We Poor Labouring Men, and it's sung by a lovely lady, a lady called Queen Caroline Hughes.
Summer breaks my fingers,
and the hot sun chills me to the bone. When I can't tell the song from the singer, and I can't feel my pillow from the stone. I walk alone by the black muddy river, and you sing me a song of my own. I walk alone by the black muddy river, and you sing me a song of my own. When the last ray of sunshine hits the mountain, and the stars start to splatter in the sky, when the moon hits the northwest horizon with a shriek like an eagle on a fly, I walk alone by the black muddy river and listen to the ripples as they mourn. I walk alone by the black muddy river and sing me a song of
he didn't like recording equipment. He thought it was newfangled and dangerous or something. No, he, the first time he did it, he was sick, and the second time his hat blew off, so he didn't do it.
If you come up to him at the end, he'll tell you what the joke is that goes with that punchline.
That's right, it's terribly funny. The joke's got a great punchline, but the joke's crap. Okay.
Because all the, nearly all the people in Cape Breton, all the population of musicians, not very many of them are singers. But the story is about the island of Skettery, which is just off the mainland. And its main economy was fishing. And when the fish were all fished out, the whole population of the island had to move over to the mainland, and the young men who before had lived an open air life fishing had to go work down coal mines. And one of the particular coal mines was called Caledonia. And Caledonia, it's still there on Cape Breton, but it's not used anymore. And the island is now uninhabited, and it's got on it an automatic lighthouse to warn the shipping. Anyway, when first I came to Caledonia. Thank you. Song Settlement Joe. It's actually written for the accordion player, Joe Burke, the Irish accordion player. The song was written by Ron Kavanagh. You've never had Ron Kavanagh over here, I don't think, but if there's any ever chance that you see him, please go and see him because he's a wonderful singer-songwriter and he wrote the words, and mandolin player too, he wrote the words to that song. Right. We're going to sing a song from about 12 miles up the coast from where we live. It comes from the Staithes Fisherman's Choir, and it's called Sleep On, Beloved. And a safe journey home to you all, and thanks again for coming. And
bye, seed.
Christmas is coming, you know. The goose is getting worried. Sleep on, beloved, sleep and take thy rest. Lay down thy head upon thy Saviour's breast. We love thee well, but Jesus loves thee best. Good night.
All that's gathered astray in all.
songs have a basis in truth, one way or another. And this is, last I'm going to sing a song called The Ragatago Gypsies. It comes from a friend of ours who sadly died a couple of years ago, an old man, a carpenter from a little village just outside Norwich in East Anglia. And, the man's name was Walter Parson, he was a lovely man, and his songs have been passed down through his family for generations and generations. Anyway, the story about the Ragatago Gypsies is that about 400 years ago, the Earl of Castilis's lady ran away, or was stolen away, history books don't tell us that, with some gypsies. And they were caught, and the gypsies were hung. And nobody knows what happened to her. But in the same family, it's happened twice in the last 50 years. And about 4 or 5 years ago, Martin and I were reading the paper, and in it was the Earl of Facilities' lady had run away again, but this time with a travelling salesman.
<I'm old.
laughs> They hung in this town. okay, so it's a Ragatago Gypsies.
Inquiring for his lady on the server.
these are some tunes. The first one is called the Rowling Hornpipe, and it comes from the northwest of England. The second one is called Our Cat Has Kitted, and comes from the northwest of England. From Saddleworth, I think it comes from around about Saddleworth, yeah. The third one is called Bleakin Gardens, and was written by Brian McNeil. And the last tune is called The Sportsman's Hornpipe, and again, it comes from the northwest of England.
Thank you.
These are a couple of ghost stories, really. The first one is just a ghost story, and the second one, Martin would do, is it like a supernatural story. And the first one comes from the... it's called the Bay of Biscay.
Thank you.
songs and how old songs are. This is called The Bows of London, but about 4,000 years ago in Persian history, there was the supernatural story about the making of the first oud, a musical instrument. And this basically is the same song about how, this is about how they made it a fiddle. And it's called The Bows of London.
Bow is a bend in the river, so the bows of London and the bends in the river change. That's all you need to know, really. The basis of this version is a song from an American singer and auto harp player whose name is Kilby Snow. And if ever any of you see a record by Kilby Snow, then buy it. He's an absolutely beautiful singer, and he's also an amazing auto harp player. And if you're like me and can't really believe that any music can be really truly got out of an instrument that looks like an auto harp, then you'll be really wrong. Like I was, when we go and buy and listen to Kilby Snow, because he's absolutely miraculous. Those are lovely.